జయం విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర సదశ్వర శ్రీమాన్ అభయ శరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభువాదికి జయం తెలిలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర సదశ్వర శ్రీమాన్ భక్త సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభువాదికి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరవ భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ గోవ గోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధావనికి గోవర్ధానికి వృందావన ధామ్కి మాయపురధామ్కి మధురబిరిధామ్కి జగన్నాథపురిధామ్కి ద్వారకాబిరిధామ్కి గంగామాయికి యమునామాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గో ప్రేమానంది ఆల్ గ్లోరియస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ బాడీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరియస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ బాడీస్ All glories to assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namam Shri Padaya Krishna Prasaya Budhale Srimadhi Bhaktivedanta Swaminidhi Namini. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prajarini Narvishesh Shunyavani Pashyati Deshadarini. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం పాతాయ ప్రతిబోధిదాం భగవదాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీ భగవతి అష్టాదశాధ్యాయిని అంబ త్వామనుసంధదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణి నమోస్తు వ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధే కుల్లారవిందాయత పత్రనేత్ర ఏన త్వయా భారత తైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీవ ప్రపన్న పారిజాతాయ తోత్రవేత్రైక బాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధా గోపాల నందన పార్థో వల్స సుదీర్భోక్తా దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహద్ వసుదేవ సుదం దేవం కంసచానూరమర్దనం దేవగీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం విష్మద్రోణ తటాజేద్రత జలా గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ మహనీకర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వథామా వికర్ణ ఘోరమకరా దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సుతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ పారాశర్యవజ సరోజమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానక కేసరం హరికథ సంబోధనాబోధితం లోకై సజ్జన శల్పదైరహరహ్యమీయమానం ముద భూయాద్భారత పంకజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్ర రుద్రమరుదస్వన్వంది దివ్యై స్తవైర్వేదై సాంగపదై క్రమ ఉపనిషదైర్ గాయంతియం సామగా ధ్యానావస్థితద్గదేన మనసా పశ్యంతియం యోగినో యస్యాంతం న విదుసురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద శ్రీ భగవాన్ వాచ భూయే మహాబాహో శృణు మే పరమం వచ యత్తేహం ప్రీయమానాయ వక్ష్యామి హితకామ్యేయ. సో కృష్ణ ఇస్ సేయింగ్ టు అర్జున, భూయే మహాబాహో, లిసన్ టు మీ బికాస్ శృణు మే పరమం వచ. పరమం అల్టిమేట్ truth is what I am talking about. Krishna says paramam vaja, shrunu me paramam vaja. Words that when he says paramam vaja means it coming from the para. In other words, the words have got four stages, is it not? Chatvari vak parimitani, Upanishad says the words that touching all the four levels within us. Brahmanaya, when great person Krishna speaks, it comes from what they call Nabhi, Hrit, Kandham and Vaikari. Rasana. In other words, that means it comes from the Nabhi. Nabhi means the lowest part, Muladharam. And then it comes to Hrit, to the heart. Then it comes to the throat, and then it comes to the lips. So these four locations, Nabhi, Hrit, Kandham and Rasana, they are these Chatvari Vak Parividani. It says in the Upanishad, says that. That words are, Krishna's words are coming from Swanubhuti. Anubhuti means Krishna's, Krishna is experiencing it while speaking. From his own realizations, he is saying this, right? And it has got its power when it comes like that. Comes from that Nabhi, Hrit, Kandham, Rasana. It has got its immense power in that. And that Achindya Shakti, that unusual power, it has got a capacity to make the person who is listening to experience it, what he is saying. Artha Prakashanam, it is called in the Shastra. Artha Prakashanam means that that unusual power that comes from this Parya, Pashyandi, Madhyama, Vaikari, the four levels of the sound, it has got an unusual power to for the listener to get the experience of it, what is being spoken. So that is why Krishna is saying here, so forcefully, Bhuya eva mahabaho, shrunume paramam vaja. Shrunume paramam vaja. And you may wonder why Krishna is taking so much effort to push this into Arjuna. With such a power, he has spoken this, right? Krishna doesn't need to get anything from Arjuna. He doesn't want anything from him. And no other benefit, but Krishna says to him, Yateham priyamanaya vatshyami hitakameya. If you look at those verses, you will see that you have a preeti towards me. You have a adarava, respect and bhakti towards me. That's what he's saying. Yateham priyamanaya, because you have that respect for me and bhakti towards me, and similarly, vatshyami hitakameya, I want you to get you the ultimate benefit from this conversation, and I would like you to get to escape from this material existence, from material world, right? So it is with that desire Krishna is speaking this. Vatshyami hitakameya. That means, I expect you to have hitam. Hitam means auspicious. Shreyasa should come to you. And somehow or the other you should escape from this material world. With this in goal, I am saying this, Krishna is saying to Arjuna. So Krishna's point is that Krishna likes those who have that such an attitude that they want to escape from here, from the cycle of birth and death. So that's why hitakameya, Krishna is saying there, right? Somehow or the other you should escape, and there is no other purpose. So great personalities, mahalmas, towards their devotees, they feel compassion, karunyam, to disciples also. Great, great mahatmas, they have that attitude, nature in them. Somehow or the other, they won't like the disciples to come out of this cycle and free themselves from the cycle of birth and death. So, and their feeling, they have much more desire than even the disciple himself. The guru will have such a strong desire to save the disciple more than the disciple himself to save from this situation, right? And it is even considered to be more than the father and the mother, a guru's relationship with the disciple, right? Father, mother, in normal situations, what do they think about the child? He should study well, get into some settled life in this world, get a good job or earn enough to live in this world or go to some foreign countries and make the living there, things like that. So, but here it is a different relationship. Krishna is saying that I like you to free yourself from the cycle of birth and death. That's all called in that words. Vakto yateham priyamanaya vakshyami hitakamaya. That parents' case, we are ignorant, basically. All parents are ignorant. Unfortunately, that's the way the world is. We have actually pushed our children to avidya, sent them to school, educated them in the wrong way, right? And then when they don't respond, actually it's a sort of vengeance from their side that they don't want to come back home, don't want to meet their parents, they don't want any relationship. All these things is a subsequent reaction of our own actions. It's coming back in that way, right? What can be done, right? We are doing this out of our love for the children, don't want to see them suffering in life. And therefore we try to help them to settle down in life. And with that good motive we are doing that, but it is not hitam. That's the principle, yeah. Vakshyami hitakamaya. That hitam is a difficult thing. What is hitam? To think that intelligence we don't have, and the child also doesn't have. Parents don't have it, the children also don't have it, right? The society also don't have it. This is how we are now. Our position is like this. What is good for the child, we don't know. He doesn't know, the child doesn't know. The society also don't know. This is our position now, right? And we have become like this. You know this, what do they call it, in villages in India, they have these weekly markets. Sandis, they call it, isn't it? They, you know, from all places, they bring their materials for sale on a particular day in a week at different places, at different dates, right? So these buffaloes, they come on sale for this market on a particular day, different places. Everybody knows which day where what is being sold. So these buffaloes, early in the morning, they'll all come as a group. And they won't move away from the group. It will stay in the group all the time, right? And in a group they come, and if you try to take one buffalo out of it, he won't agree. He will want to join the group, right? Because it got used to it, going in groups, doing everything in groups, right? And when they get there, they all get sold and they go to be butchered, for slaughter, right? But they know that they are going to get slaughtered, but still they won't move away from the group. It will stay with the group, right? So when they take the whole group there, and these people who kill the buffaloes and sell them the meat, they will buy them in groups and take them. And every one of the buffaloes knows that they are going to be slaughtered. And they, in front of them, they will kill them. And still they will wait for their turn to get killed. They won't move away from the group. We are like that in this world. That's how we are here, right? And this is how the society is. Society is very ignorant. Society is not what we think. The society has got its own avidya inside, right? So, it is blunder. Everything that's happening is a big blunder, right? And that includes spiritual institutions and organizations as well. That includes them as well, right? And they are not much different in these things. And you can see that avidya, how it creeps in from the society into the institutions equally, right? For example, spiritual institutions, when they start glorifying mundane people and start honoring them, that's a symptom of that. That avidya has gone into the institution as well. When they start glorifying the big politicians, businessmen, celebrities and all that, that is an indication that the consciousness in the institution is also not right. Because they feel this desire to be recognized in this world, that's not spiritual life. To understand all these things, one has to be a lot more thoughtful about it. Just like the buffaloes, when you go in bulk, and one buffalo find it difficult to get out from that, in the same way, all these buffaloes, they together make certain decisions and drive everyone along with them, and others go along with it. They don't have any independence capacity to think, right? Instead of normally spiritual institutions, they have only one obligation to the great personalities, Mahalpas and the Rishis who have given us this knowledge. We don't need to worship all these politicians, businessmen and all that. They have nothing to do with us. Their understanding of life is different. They have no idea about spiritual life, but because the spiritual institutions also wants recognition from the society. That's important for them. They want recognition in the society, right? Instead of listening to what the Antaryami has spoken or what the Rishis have spoken, that is not important for them. What Antaryami is saying or what the Rishis are saying, that's not important for them, right? What is important for them is that in the society, general society, they want to be recognized and they want to have a name, and society should speak about them, institutions, nicely. And society is filled with all these ignorant people and who don't know anything about higher values. Society doesn't have any higher values. They don't know anything. And the institutions wants them to praise the institutions, the society, right? And it's on that principle all these spiritual institutions are running in the modern world, with this understanding, right? And that is what in the Bhagavadam says, that Andha Parambara Samsara Sarani. In other words, it's a procession of blind people. Procession of blind people, right? Where will they go? They will go like this in their own way, right? So, Rishis are saying, who knows Hitam, that is what he is saying here. It, Vakshyami Hita Kamyaya. Who knows the Hitam of the persons? Institutions are supposed to know that, but because the underlying principle in the institutions is to get recognized in the society, and everybody should respect our society. Because of this, that hitam, because they do not know what is hitam, what the Rishis are saying, what Vedam is saying, and but practically to do that in life, it is not so easy. Yeah? And it is impossible, because when an institution comes and a lot of people are there, and then it is very difficult to stay out of it, to break away from that. You become a part of that whole thing, right? From mass, you cannot go out from that. Yeah. The masses, where they go, we go along with it. Yeah. And this masses has an energy or force in that, right? and he will, it will compel you to cooperate with them, and you will be forced to enter into that force, what's coming from the institution or from the organizations, right? And it will sweep away you along with, like, with that powerful force that comes from the institution. It will drag everyone along with that, right? So, in order to become free from that and to think a little independently about it and to be focused on the truth and the reality, the solution is to take the message of Krishna's message seriously, and it requires some strength inside to do that. Yeah. And so that is what he's saying here. Yateham priyamanaya. Yateham priyamanaya vakshyami hidagameya. Krishna is saying, because I want you to get out of this situation. Krishna doesn't want to be swept away by all the avidya of the world. I just want to free you from this avidya situation. I am telling you this. It is, that's why this verse is so spoken with such a force. Why Krishna is saying so strongly about it? It's because of this. That society is avidya. And once you be, and society has a force on everybody. It pushes all together in one direction. And it is very difficult for a person to come out of it and think independently from that. So Krishna's point is that, and all spiritual institutions, not one, all have the same problem. That they come into existence and then they want recognition of the society. And to get the recognition from the society, they will follow the leaders of the society and start glorifying them to be recognized by them, and they also want it. So it's both together operate like this, and in, and then that force, all the average person also gets dragged into it. He doesn't get the opportunity to hear what Krishna is saying. Krishna says this avidya is not only individual, it's a society's avidya, institution's avidya. All this avidya is everywhere. And to become, come out of that, Krishna is saying that, yateham priyamanaya vakshyami hidagameya. I would like you to get free from this and escape from this avidya altogether. And therefore I'm saying this. That's how Krishna begins this chapter. You see, saptame adhyaye bhagavata tattvam vibhudaya cha prakashida naome cha. Bhagavata tattvam was spoken in the 7th chapter. And also in the 9th chapter, Bhagavata Tattva, knowledge of the Absolute in the 7th chapter, and the Rajavidya, Rajagukhyam, most confidential knowledge. So these two chapters, in Bhagavad Gita, if you keep thinking about it, you will see certain chapters more powerful than some others. Some of them have much more impact on you than other chapters. The 7th and 9th are like that, Rajavidya, Rajagukhyam, and the 7th, knowledge of the Absolute, what they call it, Jnana Karma Sannyasa Yoga. So, when you look at, so, Saptame Adhyaye Bhagavata Tattvam, and in this Navame Cha Vibhudaya Cha Prakashita, in the 9th chapter, Krishna's Vibhudis are spoken. At the Idaniyam, Yeshu Yeshu Bhaveshu Chindyo, Bhagavan Te Te Bhava Vaktaviha, Tattvam Cha Bhagavato Vaktavim Uktam Abhi, Duru Vijnayatvam Idi Atashri Bhagavan Vacha. Buya evam mahabaho, shunume paramam vaja, yateham priyamanaya vakshyami hitakameya. Krishna says, I have priyam for you. What that means is, Krishna says, I would not like to see you in this condition again. I would like you to free yourself from this avidya, means cycle of birth and death. And not that I am expecting anything from you, without any particular desire, I'm doing this, right? Only thing is, I would like to, like you to become free from this bondage, right? If possible, escape from here. That's Krishna's advice. If possible, escape from here, right? And there is a big treasure, this knowledge, and if you utilize it, you, it will be auspicious for you, and that is, it is on that context I am saying this. Krishna says. It is on that context I am talking about all these things. Right? And so this will be normally the mindset of an ideal guru, Sadguru. His mindset will be like this. Somehow or the other he wants to help the disciple to become free from this avidya and once for all come out of this cycle of birth and death. Right? So, and also from a Sadguru when he speaks, Krishna is a guru here now, Jagadguru he is, isn't it? Supreme Personality of Godhead, you can't bring that identity all the time. Sometimes Krishna is like a guru, he speaks. Yeah. So what he is experiencing inside, he spoke this. What he is feeling inside, he spoke to Arjuna. Right? And he is saying to him, you should not get any doubt about this, what I am saying, and I would like you to feel the benefit of this. And sometimes spiritual masters will even chastise heavily disciples, right? And that is because of karunyam, compassion for the student, for the disciple, right? So you will see this in the Bhajagovindam prayers also. He is saying here, Kade kanta dhanagadi chinta vatula kimtava nasti niyanda trijagadi sajjana sangadi rega bhavadi bhavarnava tarane nauga. There is a very strong verse in the Bhajagovindam prayers, one of the verses, 13th verse. Kate kanda dhanagadi chinda vatula kimtava nasti niyanda trijagadi sajjana sangadi rega bhavadi bhavarnava tarane nauga. And there is no one here to guide you in the right direction in this world. Great spiritual teachers, they all know this truth, that society is ignorance. People are ignorant. They just don't know what is ultimately beneficial for them, right? And Krishna is this verse is saying that you are caught up in this world, kade kanda dhanagada chindam, and in that process you have even forgotten about your ultimate benefit. Sometimes you may have to speak in a very strong words, because it is not possible to speak always in a very polite way, nice way. Hita kameya. Why is that? Why he has to speak like that? Because he wants to have that benefit for the disciple. He wants him to get the benefit from this. That means the guru's position is like that. Guru has to have that feeling for the disciple. And he has to feel all the time how to save him from the maya, how to save him from the avidya of the society. Yeah? So you can see that how this is happens in the world all the time with great personalities. Yeah? For example, nowadays you will see this in many places in India, Hrishikesh, Haridwar, Vrindavan, and many places, spiritually well-known places, people coming from America. Young people and wandering around there looking for some, because before they have come they have read the books and they have heard some lectures from some powerful personalities from different branches of the Vedic knowledge, right? And when they come, you can, if you observe them, you can see they have come from a different background, Christian background or other backgrounds, right? But when they come, you will see their commitment, how they are genuinely looking for something, what they thought is there, and that bhakti in their heart, and a kind of knowledge inside, protection, feeling of protection from the shastram, all these things. And these people, You will wonder that how they have come now at this stage in their life, which you would have expected them to be getting educated in some institution in the West, in America. But they are not doing that. They are coming looking for something in their life, right? So because their parents also didn't send them to school, deliberately didn't send them to school, right? And that is how this homeschooling and all started becoming more and more popular there. And so some of them have come leaving everything. And in such an early age, they have got that inspiration to do that because something inside them is telling them that the lifestyle is not right, the way they are living at the moment, right? So they are born so thousands of miles away, and from there they have got this inspiration to come to look for spiritual knowledge and some spiritual directions. And with that they have come. Obviously they have read books from different great personalities, Mahalpas, right? And this you can see. The contrast also you can see. What is that? Our people, right? They will come like tourists. And they'll come and look at different locations. And they'll say, oh, this is where, pure like tourists, with their mobile phone, take some photos and appreciate that what is going on, and then they will go. They don't have any interest in knowing the message, what these people are. So you can see there, people who had no spiritual culture, they are able to come and appreciate these values, right? And our people, what I mean, the people there who are living, who have come in the Rishi Parambara, they throw away everything and they go after something which is not worthwhile following, right? That means 5,000 years of culture, they could destroy it in 50 years' time. 5,000 years' knowledge, what the Rishis have given, if you take from Bhagavad Gita position, 5,000 years now. So these 5,000 years' knowledge and culture, what Mahalmas and the Rishis have given, they have squandered it in 50 years' time and they've run after money. So this is the way situation. That is why this Hitagamya means, it means a lot. Actually, we have to know what is ultimately beneficial for us. We need to know that first. And to get that awareness itself is very difficult. People who had these traditions, they have thrown away everything in one left country once for all. And there are no chance of them coming back anymore. And they have broken away from the whole lifestyle and completely became materialistic and acquiring money and living a life of luxury. That has become their habits as well, right? So, so that is why Krishna is saying here, Vakshyami Hitakamya, I would like you to get the benefit of this thing, knowledge. And why? Because you are so dear to me. In the Bhagavadam also, when Uddhava was listening to Krishna, and Ekanath Swami mentions, 11th canto's commentary, he says that while Krishna was talking Brahmavidya to Uddhava, Ekanath Swami says Krishna had four hands. Krishna had four hands. It is his explanation to this, right? Why? The two hands to embrace Krishna. And why Krishna says, I like you so much. So this is a process. In the spiritual vasya's mind or in his heart, an unusual love comes towards a disciple when he finds a disciple qualified and surrendered to him. This is how that relationship is between the guru and the disciple. You can see from the verses what Krishna has spoken. Na tathame priyatama atma yonir na shangara na ja sangarshana na shri naivalma ja yadha bhavan. From that verse you can read straight away what Krishna is feeling towards Uddhava. That love inside Krishna's heart, that seeing that surrender in Uddhava and Uddhava is looking forward to every drop of nectar. And that respect and the devotion inside, in Uddhava's heart, these are the things that makes the Guru to become like this, to speak like this. And it's the same thing here. Yateham priyamanaya vachyami hitakameya. Because you have such a love and respect for me, yateham priyamanaya, I have to tell you what is ultimately beneficial for you. And that's what I'm going to say. That is how Krishna begins like this, right? So, he's saying that you are hearing Brahma Vidya, and by hearing this Brahma Vidya, you have the highest benefit. Why? Because you are very dear to me, Krishna says. You are very dear to me. You will see this in many instances in the Shastra. Yajnavalkya Maharshi speaks to Maitreyi in the Brihadaranya Upanishad. You can read that. Anybody can read that, right? A Maitreyi, because you are very dear to me. This is how great personalities, when they speak to their closest disciples, to whom they really want to help in spiritual life, they'll speak like this. Maitreyi, Yajnavalkya Maharshi says to Maitreyi, you are very dear to me. Right? Because you asked about Brahma Vidya from me. You wanted to know from me. Right? So, this feeling of the rishis and the great mahalmas towards their disciple is not unusual. Not only with Krishna and Arjuna. Krishna with Uddhava also did the same thing. Yajnavalkya Maharshi did that to Maitreyi. And if you look into it closely, you will find this an unusual love for the disciple coming from their heart. Right? So, Krishna begins this Vibhuti Yogam in this way. The Krishna wants Arjuna to experience, to realize the self. Self-realization, Swarupa Jnanam, should happen to him. And self-realization should happen to him. And then Krishna says, Arjuna, who are the people who know me? Krishna will say like this, knowing me. It means realizing the self. It's another way of saying that, yeah? So that is how the that's how the next verse begins, right? Nami vidu suragana prabhavam na maharshaya aham adirhi devanam maharshinam cha sarvasha. Krishna says, Nami vidu suragana prabhavam na maharshaya aham adirhi devanam maharshinam cha sarvasha. The devam, devas, higher personality, demigods, or you can say rishis, they also do not know of the origin. Why? Because I am the cause of them as well. I am the cause of them as well. Right? So, when Krishna says like that, first thing you have to understand from that verse is, if you make it personal here, it is a problem. Krishna is saying that I am the cause of all the devadas and all the rishis in all, by all means. I am the root cause of them. Yeah. In all these verses, Krishna is speaking as Brahma. Akhanda Sachidananda Brahma. Right? And he is identifying with Brahmam and speaking. He is Brahmam, Sachidananda Brahmam. And it is from that platform he is speaking this, right? Not as a historic personality. Not as a historic personality, right? More as Ishvara. Because he is that state, he is in that state. So when he is speaking, you have to think, to understand also, why is he speaking like this? He is speaking from that state as Ishvara, not as a historic personality who came, son as Vasudeva and Devaki. No, not like that. Yeah. And they do not know me, Krishna says sometimes later. Rishis don't know me. And similarly, because I am the origin of all that means Sachidananda Brahman, is the origin of all of them, right? Aham adirhi devanam maharshinam cha sarvasha. I am their origin as well. Not in the form that Krishna, who has appeared as Vasudeva and Devaki, but as Sachidananda Brahma. Rishis, Devadas, they all has come from that source, like sparks of fire comes from the big fire. They are the sparks of that fire. Who? The Rishis, the Devadas and all, right? Vedam says this. So, all these, what you read in the Upanishads, it was not invented by anybody. It was not their own inventions, right? Krishna, Brahmam, Sachidananda Brahmam has revealed them to these great rishis. For example, Atri, Pulaha, Pulasya, Krutu, Marichi, all these great rishis spoken there, they are all also manifestations of the Brahmam. In that form they have come. In the form of rishis, in the form of devadas, they have come, right? And they all exist even today. They are all there even now. Historically means that traditionally, when you have a crisis in spiritual life, in your sadhana processes, yeah, if there is any difficulty, then they are the ones who are consulted. All these great rishis. Marichi, Atri, Angirasa, Pulastya, Pulaha, Kradu, Bhrigu, all these great, great rishis, right? And they know that they will give you darshanam if you worship them, and if you have a difficulty in spiritual path, they are capable of relieving your doubts. And this sampradayam is present in all sampradayam. It is in the Madhvacharya sampradayam also. And Madhvacharya traditions, they call it as Nitya Suris. Eternally those who give you directions. These rishis are called Nitya Suris there. Right? And in the Bhashyam of Brahma Sutram, Acharya Swamiji also says the same thing about them. Who the rishis are. Right? Because we think that they don't exist anymore, but they do exist even now. But it is through them, which are like the sparks of a big fire, they have come, and through them all these Upanishads knowledge has come to this world, right? So all these rishis, devadas and all that, they are all the murti forms of Krishna himself, came out at different times, right? And they are his manifestations, in other words. Aham adirhi devanam maharshinam ja sarvasha. They are all his manifestations. Sachidananda Brahma, Krishna's manifestations there, right? So the Brahman is the Purna Vastu, everything in together, one holds together, right? Bhagavan or Paramatma, whom we address, Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, in different ways you are addressing him, right? And na sarve viduhu maharshi nam jas aham adirhi devanam. So here Acharya Swamiji say here name viduhu na janandi suraganaha brahmadeha kimte na viduhu mama prabhavam prabhavam prabhu shakti adishayam athava prabhavam prabhavanam ulpatim na abhi maharshaya bhrigvadeyo viduhu. And even Lord Brahma and all the other devadas and all the rishis like Bhrigu, they also do not know the source where they have come from. Where they have come from. Kasmad te na vidu idi uchade. Why they don't know this? Aham adihi karanam hi yasmad devanam maharshinam jo sarvashaha sarva pragarehi kimcha. Because I am the origin. I am the origin. So Krishna is speaking this as Sachidananda Brahmam, Ishvara himself in that way. Right? And you will see in the beginning of Acharya Swamiji's commentary, he mentioned this in a, he says, Om Narayana, first verse itself, Om Narayana Paro Avyaktal, Dandam Avyakta Sambhavam, Andasyanda Sime Loka, Sapta Dvipacha Medini, Sapta Dvipacha Medini. Prabhupada has quoted this verse from Shankara Bhashyam in his commentary. You can see that also. Narayana Om Narayana Paro Avyaktam, Dandam Avyakta Sambhavam. And avyakta means something that you cannot perceive through senses. In Shastram, more reference is given to that side, more than what you perceive through senses. Perceive through senses is very limited importance only. So that is what it is called avyaktam. So avyakta means something that you cannot perceive through senses. Yeah. So from avyaktam came this brahmandam, creations have come from avyaktam. So beyond this avyaktam is Narayana. Acharya Swami says, Om Narayana Paro Avyaktam, Dandam Avyakta Sambhavam, Andasyandas Tumi Loka, Sapta Dvibhaja Medini. So this earthly planet with the seven oceans and seven islands is all within this universe, Brahmandam, right? So that's what he mentions. Narayana's position is like that origin from him. So Bhagavan or Brahman, Sachidananda Brahman, Narayana, he is the source of all the devadas, the rishis, everybody. So through these great personalities, we are traveling towards the source. That is spiritual life. We are traveling towards the source, right? So naturally, Arjuna wants to know who Krishna is. That inquisitiveness is there in Arjuna, to understand who is Krishna, and that is the next verse. Yo mam ajam anadimcha veti loka maheshwaram asam modasa martyeshu sarva bhavai pramuchyate. He says that Yo mam ajam anadi, I was not born. So from that itself you can see that. And here we are celebrating Janmashtami also. So, and Krishna is always saying this, I don't have birth. Ajo visanna veyatma, another verse, isn't it? So in several places Krishna will say. So from that itself we can understand, when Krishna is speaking all these things, he is not speaking as Vasudeva and Devaki's son. Instead he is speaking as Sachidananda Brahma, Paramatma, Bhagavan, the supreme source. Source of everything, you could say. Janmadhyasyadaha, that source. That's where this knowledge is coming from. Right? So, and he says, Yo mam ajam anadimcha, one who understands me as I was not born, or I am the soul, and I don't have beginning or the end, I'm always existing, in other words. Right? And one who knows me as the source of everything, he understands. He becomes released from Sarva Bhavai Pramuchyate. He has become free then. Yo mam ajam anadimja yasmad aham adihi devanam maharshinamcha na mama anyaha adi vidhi vidyade. Ata aham aja anadimja anaditvam ajatve hedu. Tam mam ajam anadimcha yo veti vijanadi loka maheshwaram lokana mahandam ishwaram turiyam. Ajnana tal karya varjidam, asamuda, samoha varjidaha, samartyeshu manisheshu, sarva bhavai, madipurvam, adipurva kradehi, pramuchyate, pramokshyate. So, Krishna is saying here, asamuda. In Bhajagovindam, Acharya Swamiji calls us mutamate. Isn't it? Bhajagovindam, Govindam is a mutamate. Mutamate, when they say like that, Krishna is also uses this word, Mutha. Avajanandi ma Mutha, earlier he said. So why they call us like this Mutha? The word itself is very heavy, Mutha word, right? So, all you can say that, what else can be said about us? What else can be spoken about us, right? Due to our genetic problems, we have become motas, born like this, right? And this mota buddhi, you will get it if you live in this world. You will; it is given to you freely. They will make you a mota. So, like this, that it's not very difficult to get dirty here in this world, right? Suppose you bathe yourself in the morning, put fresh clothes on and you sat somewhere, by evening you will be dirty again, the body. That's the nature of this body. It becomes dirty, right? So, and then you have to bathe again. You don't have to do any work. You just sit somewhere all day, by evening your body is dirty again. That's the way the body is, right? So, and if you have to clean yourself, you have to bathe again, right? Similarly, in the same way, for us to become mudha, you don't have to do anything in this world, right? Just if you live in this world, that's enough. You'll become a mudha, automatically. You'll become a mudha, right? And if you keep on living in this world for a while, right, just you have to take birth here and live here. That's all you have to do, right? And you will get this qualification as mota. You'll become a mota automatically, yeah? You get your graduation, post-graduation, doctorate, everything in this mota tvam. You'll become an idiot, practically, living in this world, right? So, this mota means, it's called maudyam. Maudyam means deep ignorance, builds up inside us, yeah? And yomam evam asam motaha. He's saying here that varjidam asam motaha samoha varjidaha. In other words, you should know me in this way, Krishna is saying. You should know me in this way. How? Asamoda samartyeshu sarvabhav as yo mam ajam anadim cha veti loka maheshwaram. Krishna has put a very big hook there, saying to Arjuna, you should know me not in this form like I am in front of you, as the source of everything. Then you become released, right? So, that means one who has no birth, one who has no beginning or end. How will you know Krishna like that? How will you know Krishna in that way? You have to know Krishna as your soul then. That's the only way to know this. Not through the form, not through the body, not in the temple, nor anywhere else, till you realize yourself that Antaryami inside is you, means self-realization. That's the answer for that. When Krishna says this, asam muda samartyeshu sarvabhavai pramichyade yo mam ajam anadim cha veti loka maheshwaram. In other words, there is no other way of becoming free from this mudhatvam till you realize that your identity inside you as Antaryami is actually your spiritual identity or self-realization. Only by knowing that way you will become free from this mudhatvam, he says, right? So, knowing Krishna as your soul, Antaryami inside, only then you can come to this state. Not through the simply seeing the form or the temple or the deities. They are all in the bhakti part of it. The knowledge part is this, realizing the self, self-realization, right? So, in other words, you cannot know him as a vastu outside you. You have to know him. That is proper knowing. Becoming that and experiencing it inside. That is knowing properly. You see, everything else we learn through mind and intelligence. But then you are knowing it outside you, not inside you. You don't experience it. You knowing it in mind and intelligence and it stays in that state. That won't work here. Spiritual life, it won't work. Spiritual life has to become like this, that you have to realize it inside. That's you. You are not separate from that truth. That is what. So, ajam, it means that the basic error in all of us is, in our knowledge, is that I was born, you were born, we all think like that, is it not? I was born, right? And then we have got this birthday after that, right? All this is mental. It is not the truth. Krishna is saying we don't have birth or death, right? And then we are going and celebrating birthday. What does that show? Krishna says to us, as the spirit soul, Antaryami's identity we have, from that level if you look at it, there is no thing called birthday. But we celebrate birthday, right? And this is a new thing in the society, becoming so serious about this birthday thing, right? In olden days, people at home also, many of them don't remember when they were born. They didn't take it all very seriously. And sometimes, you know, at home, some people come to do different types of work, working in the field, working at home. Different kinds of people come and do work at home, is it not? So when they come, if you ask them, how old are you? They will say, they don't know. They were like that. They didn't know how old they were, right? And they don't know how old they are. They don't know when their birthday is. And they won't even know what time it is. That's how they lived in this world. And we think that we are very advanced now because we got all this. This is a horrible thing it is actually, that the way we are stuck in this world with all these useless things. Yeah. So, and then people who started using their mind and intelligence into all these things, and then they started creating these horoscopes, and birthday star, and birthday, and things like that. So, in this way it developed in the society, when they started using their mind and intelligence. Prior to that, people did not bother about it. For example, in modern world, if you look, you can see this very clearly. We will know everything about our son or daughter, what he is studying, which class he is studying, and what everyone, day to day, you are monitoring him or her. Whatever they are doing in this life, right? This is a modern society. In the olden days, they will have 10, 12 children at home. And the parents won't even know in which class which child is studying. So, somebody, visitor comes and he is asking the father, which class is he studying? Father says, father will call the child, which class are you studying? He will ask the child. That is how much they were concerned about the education of this so-called education of this world. And today look at this, what's going on. How much things have changed. That is how they were in that time, right? So similarly, this birthday and all that, they didn't take to this extent what goes on now. Village hall is booked and 10 SUVs is coming down on the street, parked everywhere, with the loads of balloons and gifts and mother and father together with the child walking in. What a madness this whole thing is. Just shows that how fallen mudhas we have become. The mudhatvam, if you want to see, come and have a look. And it goes on in the temple as well. It's not much different. So where is the difference? That's what I'm saying. The avidya permeates into the society, institutions everywhere. From the society, it comes into institutions. Institutions also gets victimized by that. So, again, if you ask the question that this birthday is the biggest lie, Because whenever we born actually, we take it the day you came out of the womb of the mother. That's the birthday, isn't it? Right? But actually, the child is born when it was conceived. The day the child was conceived, the jiva has come into the womb of the mother. And that nobody is taking into account. They are starting from the day it came out of the womb of the mother. Right? So before the came out of the mother's womb, where was the seed, the bijam? That bijam, was it not existing? He was existing even before that. So why do you say that the day you came out from the womb is a birthday? He was living inside the womb, but now he has come out of the womb, that's all. So you consider that what you saw with your eyes as the truth and started taking from there, right? And if you ask the person, do you remember the birthday? He doesn't remember anything. The child, what does the baby know when it comes out, right? And if you tell the child you were born on that day, does he remember anything? We are forcing all this on the child and saying to them that that's your birthday, right? And this existence, awareness of our existence, it didn't happen overnight in one day, right? So, and that is the only reality in us, that our existence, that we exist, right? Body has come, but I was in the womb of the mother, there also I was existing as bijam. Krishna says that bijam mam sarvabhudanam, isn't it? So, so this is how, and this state of my existence is always with me. That's the only thing I have. What I can say as what I have got, this awareness, bodham of my existence, nothing else. Body and all has come, and that will go also. Mind also same, intelligence also same, ahankaram also same, senses also same. But this awareness is the only thing what I have with me all the time, which never leaves me. Because if that goes, then I don't exist anymore. So, Krishna begins Bhagavad Gita with this understanding that there is no time when we don't exist, right? And it cannot come to that state cannot come when we don't exist, right? And we are existing even now, and that is why that famous verse, Nasado Vidyade Bhava, Nabhavo Vidyade Sada, Ubhayorabhi Drishtuandam Stanayor Tattva Darshibhi. He said that, right? That means Satya has got Abhavam, does not have Abhavam. Satya means this existence in us. That cannot be, there is no time that it doesn't exist. The feeling of existence in us. Satya, Chitta, Anandam. Out of that, Satya is the nature of all jiva, it is there in him, right? That means this experience, I am existing, that reality, our existence, bodham, consciousness, in other words. And its very nature is its truth. Satya, Chitta, Anandam, right? Satya is the same, this is the thing. Satya and Chitta are one and the same, right? And the chit itself is aham, what I am experiencing inside as me. So when we say satya chitta anandam, don't break it up straight away and start thinking they are three different things. They are one and the same thing. In aham, sat is there. In aham, chit is there. Anandam is also there in aham. They are actually one. They are not different, right? And it always exists. And that is why he says ajam. Ajam. And that is the very nature of this Swarupam, identity, is ajam, right? So, when you know like that, it is ajam. Satya, Chitta, Anandam, as aham, then it is ajam. All these words you have to take it, understand it properly, right? And that ajam is anadi, neither beginning nor end. We are also in the same anadi, neither beginning nor end, right? Loka Maheshwaram. Yo mam ajam anadim cha veti loka maheshwaram. So, when we say that, we should know that it is not that jiva whom I think as I am. It's not the jiva, right? That vastu, or I am, aham, it can exist in the form of the devata, form of the rishi, or in the form of a human body, or in the prakriti, in any other forms. In all these different forms, that aham is coming in different forms, and it changes the form and goes into another form. Forms are always changing, but that aham is not changing. Awareness, existence, consciousness, right? So that is what he is saying here. Aham adirhi devanam maharshinam ja sarvasha. He said that in the second verse. Aham adirhi devanam maharshinam ja sarvasha. In other words, adi bijam, the original seed of everything, advayam. If you, same thing Krishna spoke in the seventh chapter, if you look, in the tenth verse. Bijam mam sarvabhudanam vidhi partha sanatanam. Jnana vijnana yoga, he says. Bijam mam sarvabhudanam. You have to connect that verse with this verse to understand it better. Right? So, 10th verse. Bijam mam sarvabhudanam vidhi partha sanatanam buddhir buddhimagam asmi tejas tejas sinamaham. Arjuna, know me as the bijam of all living entities. Bijam mam sarvabhudanam vidhi partha sanatanam. So, it is from that Krishna is saying here that sanatana bijam of Krishna is present in every one of us. Every jiva is that, right? So, how is he present in us? As antaryami or bodham, awareness. So what happens is, when we talk about bhakti, and when we start seeing bhakti in one way only, all this side is completely lost. And this is the subtle side of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna wants us to understand he is the source. And when he is speaking that, he is speaking as the pure consciousness, bodham, present in everyone. And Krishna is also saying to us, it is that same bodham, me, is present in you all as your antaryami. Because that antaryami has no beginning or end, we also, in our pure identity, we don't have beginning or end. Antaryami in us is also same as the source. So antaryami is one, present in everybody. Because of that, we also don't have any beginning or end in that way. And that is what Krishna is saying, that bijamam sarvabhudanam vidhi partha sanadhanam. We are also sanadhanam in that sense, right? So, and that sanadhana bijam is present in everybody. And this antaryami who is present inside, which is our consciousness, bodham, what we call it bodham, it doesn't have any problems. In other words, it is in that bodham this personality is appearing like this, abhimanam ahankaram, what we call as jiva. Because this antaryami is there, that is why this is happening. Antaryami is one, and it is present in all different bodies, all types of bodies, right? But this abhimanam ahankaram, or the vyaktitvam, personality, is for the jiva. For the jiva. So, and that is why that ahanda, ahangaram or jiva happens, and it appears and it disappears. It flickers and it disappears, right? It comes up, it stays some time, and then it disappears. And you can see that, right? And because in a sushupti, it's not there. So the real, in us, the real vastu is antaryami, not the jiva. Because you can see the way it is working. Jiva comes in the waking state, dream state, and then it disappears in the deep sleep state, right? So, jiva comes, appears, and then it disappears, right? Because it's happening, because of that, nothing happens to Andaryami because of that. Andaryami is incorruptible. You can't do anything with Andaryami. Andaryami is permanent. This awareness, bottom inside, right? It is like this, like if you see a cinema theater, in the screen, when the film is rolling, and the projector is there from that, the light, and then in the screen, war happens, rain happens, fire happens, nothing happens to the screen. All you are seeing the cinema is what is happening on the screen. You think, oh, it's raining, or it's caught fire, or the war happens, battlefield happens, everything on the screen. Screen is not affected. Andaryami is the screen. All other things are jiva, what is doing it. In a similar way, jiva is doing everything here. Jiva is the one who is experiencing everything. Jiva is the one which is going through all this birth, death, old age and disease. Ahangaram is for the jiva, but the Andaryami has nothing to do with it, right? So, even if a war happens, fire happens, or rain happens, screen doesn't get burned. Screen remains as a screen. This is how Andaryami is inside, yeah? So, that bodham, awareness, is not affected by anything, and that is Ishvara, Krishna inside us, right? And so that awareness bodham is not jiva. Actually, it is the bodham, awareness inside, is the presence of Sachidananda Brahman inside us. Krishna inside us. Andaryami is that bodham inside us, right? Jiva comes up in that, stays for some time, then it gets dissolved, and jiva goes through all the other things. Which one? The six different things. Jayate, asti, vardate, vivarniyate, abakshayam, nasham. All the six transformations, it's all for the jiva, not for the Andaryami. Not for the Andaryami. Janmadhyasyataha, right? So, Janmadhyasyataha means the source that Andaryami, which was never born, which doesn't die, and from him everything comes. So jiva also comes from that same source, Andaryami. Right? And so jiva has these changes. Like Prahlad explained that in the seventh canto, isn't it? Same thing spoken again, that adhishtanam. This Andaryami is the adhishtanam. Strictly in us, what is permanent, if you ask, the answer is Andaryami, not this jiva. Jiva is not permanent, right? So, and that Andaryami has no birth, Andaryami has no beginning nor end, and even factor called time has no relationship with him. With Andaryami, even time has no meaning for Andaryami, because it always exists. Something, time comes into only for the jiva. Time is a factor. So, when we say beginning means time, so you can't apply that to Andaryami. Similarly, time is like that. Then Swabhavam also doesn't apply to Andaryami. Andaryami has no Swabhavam. Swabhavam is all for the jiva. What jiva has acquired through vasanas and through karma. That is swabhava, right? Then we say prakriti, nature, three modes of nature, is only present in the jiva, not present in the antaryami. So when we study like this, you can understand clearly that our actual identity is not this jiva. Yeah. Similarly, karma. So, kalam, swabhavam, similarly, prakriti, karmam, all these things are only for this jiva, which is the ahankaram that comes up and gone, comes and goes all the time in us. Our spiritual identity, antaryami, is not touched by any of these things. Kalam, karmam, prakriti, swabhavam, these four things, is not applicable to antaryami. This is all happening to the jiva, right? So, so Krishna is saying here, one who knows that adhishtanam, antaryami, in other words, right? That is the satta in us. That is our reality. The essence of us, if you take it, that is what we are actually. And one who knows that, he becomes free from maudhyam. Then he is not a mota anymore. One who does not know this, as far as Krishna is concerned, he is a mota, right? So, maudhyam means that avidya, ajnanam, to know that I am suffering, I am enjoying, and that identification with the individuality and personality, and suffering and enjoying from that, all these are activities of motatvam. It has nothing to do with us, right? So, that is what he said, sarvabhavai pramuchyate. Once you realize your antaryami realization comes, that is what Upanishads are all talking about. Yeah, sarvabhavai pramuchyate. All his pavam relation has gone away, right? So, so all these things is dependent on the ahankaram. Ahankaram is jiva, right? So if as long as we have a hangaram inside, we are sinful. There is pavam, right? Because as long as I have this identity of a hangaram, as jiva ahanda it is called, or personality in other words, personality. When it is there, whatever karma I am doing, it will affect me. It will affect me, right? And whether it is good or bad, whatever it may be, it will affect me. Good karma, bad karma. It is all for the jiva. Everything is for the jiva, right? So, in Mundaka Upanishad, this talks about this. In a very one line, they have put it together, everything. He's saying there that the... Yada pashya pashyade rukma varnam kartaram isham purisham brahma yonim tada vidvan punya pabe vidhuya niranjanam paramam samyam upeti. It is in the Mundaka Upanishad. It talks about it, right? So, what he is saying is that yada pashyaha, rishis sees this. Rishis knows this, right? And his buddhi, he says, pashyati buddhi, yadha pashya pashyate rukma varnam kartaramesham purusham brahma yojim tada vidvan punya bhabe vidhuya niranjana paramam samyam upaiti. Rishi means that, or acharya you can say, his buddhi has got this subtle vision, sushma darshanam, able to see things, right? The word rishi means one who has got darshana shakti, one who can see things as they are. Our is mamsa chakshus, we are seeing things. Rishis see this in a different way, able to see the subtleness of everything. And that is what he is saying here. um, Rukmavarnam Kartaramesham, Purusham Brahma Yonim. He is present in all of us, right? And one who is present like molten gold, it is shining inside this Antaryami, right? It's a description of the Upanishads, the way they present it, right? Kartaramesham Purusham Brahma Yonim. He is the source of everything. Moolam. Kartaramesham. Yeah. Moolam. So, root of everything. He is the Ishvara. He is the Purusha. He is the Brahmam. Different terminologies in the Upanishads. Ishvara, Purusha, Brahmam. One and the same. And he is the womb of everything. The source of everything. And if you have touched him, that Antaryami, then what is he saying here? Punya bhave vidhuya. Then you have no punyam papam. You know, pious and pious results, sinful results, all these things goes away. And that vastu inside Antaryami, he does not, the greatest, he says, the greatest wonder of that is, Samim Upaidi, I am that. I am that, actually. And he becomes that. In other words, he ceases to be the seer anymore and becomes the perceived thing. In other words, he goes beyond these three things. Which one? Drashtava Drishyam. In other words, and the process of seeing. Only if you transcend that, everything is very subtle in this Upanishads, in the Bhagavad Gita, right? And you cannot prove all these things with research work. Research cannot prove any of these things. You can keep on. That shows that how gross this research work is. You see, the laboratory research, and they glorify all these big things, isn't it? This subtle vision, they can't have it. Because this cannot be researched. This has to come through the rishis. Rishis are saying to us, we have experience, they know this, and they are telling us that this is how it is, right? So, Punya Bhave Vidhuya is saying here. Why is he saying? That Krishna is saying, when you know me, Sarva Bhave Pramuchyade, he is saying, in the fourth line, in the third verse, Asam Moda Samarthyesho. Why did he say like that? Sarva Bhave Pramuchyade. The reason is this, that when, if you want to become free from sinful results, I mean pavam, sinful activities, and to become free from the sinful reactions, in other words, right, the ahankaram has to leave first. The ahankaram, ego inside, has to go completely from inside, right? So, in order to get this ahankaram completely goes away from inside means, you have to realize yourself as the Antaryami. Only then the ahankaram will go. Otherwise, ahankaram won't go. Only if the ahankaram completely leaves you, then you realize that you are the Antaryami. That means you have realized the truth. You realize the self, right? So, when you realize yourself as the Antaryami, Antaryami doesn't have birth or death, and Antaryami doesn't have any karma either. And so we have to see that, realize that truth inside as our identity, as Antaryami. Then you become free from all sinful reactions. Sarva Bhavai Pramuchyade. Think about it, you will understand it, the importance of it, right? What Krishna is saying is, you see, Krishna used the word there, Sarva Bhavai Pramuchyade. If you know me, Yo Mam Ajam Anadincha Veti Loka Maheshwaram Asam Mota Samartyeshu Sarva Bhavai Pramuchyade. You have become free from all sinful reactions at that moment, when you have realized yourself as the Antaryami inside, right? So, Krishna begins this chapter with this statement. He is saying that if you realize me, one who has no birth, no beginning, no end, and no birth either because of that, always existing, and I am the source of everything, from whom everything has come, including we all, such a person, he will not have, one who has realized that, or one who has understood what we are, actually with identification, the Andaryami, right? If you realize that, Sarva Papai Pramuchyate, then you don't have any sinful reactions, because you are not a jiva anymore. So, look at this way. Kalam, Sobhavam, Prakriti, Karmam, Karma Vasana, and the Prarabdham, Agami, Agami, Sanchidam, all this is centered around Ahangaram. So, once the jiva bhavam goes away, and we get our identity back as the Andaryami, all this is wiped out straight away, all gone. It is not real, none of these things are real. Like jiva is not real, these things are also not real. Kalam, Swabhavam, Prakriti, Karmam, they are also not real. Because we are jiva, we have to face that. We have to live with it, these things. So how do we come to out of, that is what his point is. Sarva Bhavai Pramuchyate means, Asam Mooda Samarthyeshu, he has come out of his Moodhatvam, Avidya. He has come out of that. And he has realized who he is, that he is not that jiva anymore. He has realized that he is that Andaryami inside and he is free. Then there is, after that, there is no more bondage, no more liberation, no more sinful activities or sinful reactions. Because in our Swarupam, in our spiritual identity, these things don't exist. None of these. Kalam, Swabhavam, Prakriti, Karmam. All this is for the jiva. So, as we are in the Ahangara, in the jiva form, it is at that time you have to accept all these things, right? So, so with self-realization, there is no more sinful reaction after that. With self-realization happens, after that there is no more sinful reaction. So you can see, Puranam has built up all these things. Sinful, hellish planets, heavenly planets, all other things, is to create this understanding in us first, that there is reaction for our karma. We have to be conscious of that. Gradually elevating us to the higher truth. That's what Puranam does. Gradually elevating us to the higher truth. So for that, they will present it in different ways, in different Puranams. Yeah. So, Krishna is saying that with that you have become free. When Krishna said that, Arjuna was asking, what is your Swarupam? What is your Swarupam, right? When we say Ishvara, it is Saguna Brahma. It is Saguna Brahma. And sagunam, when you take it in the sagunam side, with all the attributes, if you take it like that, right? all the gunam comes right. Like Krishna said, Pidahamasya jagada, madhadhada pidamaha, vedyam pavitram omgaram, riksama yajurevacha. So, when self-realization happens, right, people have this impression that sometimes people think like this, right, he is going to realize something without any qualities, some realization like that, right, which has no form, no qualities, and something he is realizing, which has no form, no qualities, in that way, right? And he thinks that you won't, after realization, self-realization, people ask all the time these questions, right? What will I be doing after self-realization? You know, people ask that question. And if you... So, therefore there is an answer. You go to Golokam. Or you go to Kailasam. And there you can be doing this, you can be doing that. So people have this... They want to know everything first before they venture into spiritual life. So they ask all these questions, right? So, when we say Nirgunam, they get very worried. Some people have told us also that you go to Brahmachari, but then you'll fall from there, they say. I mean, they have not understood what Brahmasmi realization, they have not understood. So, Parishit can fall then, is it not? Because he realized Aham Brahmasmi, Brahman realization. So, Parishit can fall then. But that is not how it is to be understood. But that's due to our avidya inside, our ignorance, because we don't understand everything. And so sagunam is based on this understanding. Sagunam state is that there is no trigunam. That's what sagunam it is called. In sagunam, there is no trigunam there. Trigunam is sattvam, rajasa, tamasa. In sagunam, there is no trigunam there, right? When trigunam comes in sagunam, then sagunam loses its purity. Think through it. Trigunam is sattvam, rajagunam, tamagunam. They are impurities. Sagunam is pure. But this sagunam is different than the trigunam. So when you don't have trigunam, you can call it as nirgunam. That is how nirgunam means, right? Not that it doesn't have any gunam. It has got gunam, but three modes of nature is not present. Prabhupada also explains the same thing. He puts the same thing in the same way spoken. He says, nirgunam, nirgunam, when we say, people misunderstand that there is no gunam there. No attributes, right? And that's not, what that means is, gunam is there, but trigunams are not there. Sattugunam, rajagunam, tamagunam is not there. But gunam is there, attributes are there, right? So, for example, anandam, bliss, is a gunam there, right? But it is not trigunam. Anandam is not trigunam. In trigunam you get sukham. Anandam comes in the sagunam, in the blissful state. So when they say satta chitta anandam, it says, it doesn't say satta chitta sukham. Satta chitta anandam, it says. So all these words are important and we should know exactly what they mean, in what context those words are used. So, for example, trigunam has no influence in a person who has realized the saguna brahma. And, or in other words, a rishi or a jnani who has realized the self, right, he knows that he has a form, for example, he is relating with Shiva's form, Devi's form, or Krishna's form, whatever it may be, right. And he knows that that form what he is referring to is present inside him as Antaryami, in him. Antaryami's form, initially in the form he worships, but then he realizes he is inside as the Antaryami. Vastu is the same. Whether you worship him as Parthasarathi, or Venugopal, or Baby Krishna, whichever faith, that's the form, attraction to the form. You have realized that form, and that form, you realize it as Antaryami inside. That's the next stage, right? And when you realize like that, all your other emotional relationships is coming to an end. Because you are realizing him inside as your Antaryami, right? And emotions, emotional bhakti, in other words, in an emotional level, when you realize him, that it is a stage in between, before realizing as the very self, right? So, in from Jnani's point of view, this emotions itself is a kind of a bhiksha for them. They don't take it very seriously. You can see in bhakti, people get very emotional, isn't it? You see in the temples and all, sometimes when they come in front of the deity, and you can see a lot of reels comes out, and if you observe, people are very emotional when they see the deity. Obviously, so many emotions comes in their heart, is it not? They feel some connection with the deity. Through those emotions, they feel the connection. Yeah. So, and that is because in their heart, they have desires. They want something, and they are depending on the on that form to help, to protect from there, right? And some shortage or some lack of fulfillment inside, lack of love from somebody, they are not getting it, what they need in their life. So that desire or emotional need, they are connecting with the deity at that time. Nice, beautiful prayers also they have. They sing nicely, and it's very touching when you hear that. Yeah. So, but the problem is that they are feeling that if they don't get the love response from other side, they won't feel happy. If there is nobody showing any love for them, they don't feel happy. So they are trying to develop that loving relationship with Krishna in that way, with the deity, whichever form they are worshipping, right? Jnanis don't think like that. The same difference between the jnani and the devotee in his early stages. Devotee in the advanced days is a jnani. But devotee in the early days, he has a lot of avidya in him. He has not spiritually understood everything properly. It begins with some emotional feeling with the deity. Everything begins like that, right? So, that is why Krishna said that verses. Which one? Pitahamasya jagato. Actually, it's me only. All your relationships are centered around me. Whether you are father, mother, brother, sister, whatever. Pidahamasya jagato. Madha dhada pidamaha vedyam pavitra mahangaram. Ruksami yajurayavaja. Gadir bharta prabhu sakshi. Nivasa sharanam sukar. Prabhavam pralayasthanam nidhanam vijam avyayam. All those verses, right? So, so, laugiyam. Laugiyam means in this mundane world, when we deal with this world, right? We are also a kind of a beggar nature we all have in us, right? We exchange love between parents and the children, right? And you are extracting love from the children, grandchildren, and things like that, right? And similarly. Husband and wife, there is a love among them, right? And similarly, you get happiness when someone respects you. People feel happy when somebody is giving you respect, right? All these are actually a perversion of the real anandam inside of the Antaryami. What Jiva is experiencing in all these things, through family relationships, friends, society, recognition in the society, and all these things are, if you take it, where do they all come from? It is from the Antaryami's one perversion it is. In different relationships, what you are experiencing in this world, right? And that source, Antaryami, is the ocean of everything, the very source, right? And in him, everything is included, right? And that is why it is called Mahavibhuti. The Mahavibhuti is the Antaryami inside, right? And self-realization is realizing this Antaryami inside. It is called in different ways, Atma Sakshatkaram, Ishvara Sakshatkaram. Different words they use for that, right? So, this Atma Sakshatkaram or self-realization, when it is in the Sagunam level, Sagunam state, right? A liberated person, when he is in the bodily identity, when he is inside the body, when he has not left the body yet, but he is liberated, right? When he is in, what is his situation then? He is complete. You see, he has realized the self, but his body has not gone. Body is waiting for prarabdham to finish. So what is his state of consciousness at that time? That's what Krishna is explaining here. That he has already become free from the body, and all these emotions and everything is not anymore affecting him. These emotions and all comes in when you are in the jiva bhava. When you are as a jiva, you get all these things, right? Jivan mukta, he is not, even though he is in the body, he is still complete in the sense that as far as he is concerned, he is not seeing these relationships anymore like the way we are perceiving now. For example, father, mother, you loved them, they loved you, but one day left and gone, one day they left and gone. And you feel depressed about it when they left for some time, and then after that, normal again, everything. Same thing with husband and wife, same thing with the children also. They came into your life, stayed some time with you, and then they're gone. And then gradually that connection breaks away, goes away. And then you become each other, probably become strangers one day, each other. So for a few years of time they were part of you, your life, and emotionally you had a relationship with them. Beyond that, you don't know them, they don't know you either. We are thinking that, oh, it's my son, I keep saying. What do you know about your son? You don't know anything about him. He was a part of your life on an emotional level, and that time that love and relationships existed, right? But what Krishna is saying here, all those relationships are a part of that original source which comes from Antaryami, right? So, in a Jivan Mukta's case, this whole relationships, what he has got, right, it is, he see it in the proper way, that these relationships are not on a bodily level. It's Krishna's another expansions they have come. Krishna has put them in there, in your life, as a part of your life, and Krishna has taken it away. When their prarabdham with you is over, accounts are settled, they're gone. Right? So, that vibhuti Krishna is going to talk about from now on, right? And so that is how this vibhuti yogam begins, right? Why Krishna is saying, when he used that word loga maheshwaram, what is that maheshwaram? Ida cha aham maheshwara lokanam, right? So in the third verse Krishna said that Loganam Mahandam Ishwaram Turiyam Ajnana Talkarya Varjidam Asammoodaha Sammoha Varjidaha Samartyeshu Manishyeshu Sarva Babai Madipurvam Adipurvakrade Pramuchyade Pramokshyade. He said this, that I am the source, he said first, for everything. And to know me as I have no birth, no death. And nothing existed before me, it's only me who always existed. The devadas and rishis have also, I am the source of all. One who knows this, that it is me who is the source of everything, as Ishvara, one who is not under the control of senses, such a person will become free from avidya and from this illusion, and will become free from all sinful reactions. That is how Krishna spoke that verse 3. It's a lot of thinking you have to do with that verse to get that, the subtle side of that verse. Yeah. You have to understand it in what circumstances. If you just read translation purport, it won't help. You need to think about it also. Give some time to look at these verses very carefully, and then you will see where Krishna is coming from. Krishna is presenting himself, his actual identity is this, not the form what you see me in front of you in the temple or in the picture. So, it is because of all these things, I am Maheshwara. Sarva asa beti beti Loka Maheshwara. I am Maheshwara, right? And then he's saying here, because of these things, what he's going to talk about now, I am the Maheshwara of the world. And that's what he begins at. Buddhi, Ajnanam, Asammoham, Shama, Satyam, Dhamam, Shamam, Sukham, Dukham, Bhavo, Abhavam, Bhayam, Cha, Abhayam, Eva, Cha. Buddhi, Jnanam, Asammoham means no Motada, Modhitam, Shama, Satyam, Dhamam, Shamam, Sukham, Dukham, Jananam, Maranam, Bhayam, Bhayarahityam. Then Ahimsa, Samadha, Tushti, Tapasya, Dhanam, Yasho, Yasha, Yashasya, Ayashasya, Bhavandi, Bhava, Bhudhana, Matta, Eva, Pradagvidaha. All these bhavams, these are all bhavams, isn't it? They all come from me, Krishna says. So again, Krishna is identifying himself as Sachidananda Brahmam, not as Vasudevan Devaki's son. He's not speaking from that point. But normally we give the impression to people like this, and people start thinking, how is this? They're not able to understand where this is coming from. So all that listed in 4 and 5, two verses, different things, they are all my bhavam, different bhavams that is present in me, comes out like that. Yeah. So, and then, so, in that verse, Krishna began first, right? Vibhuti Yogam, he began. Then, listen to me very carefully, because these are all subtle things. If you are not with the speaker, what he is saying, Krishna is saying, then you can get lost in that. If you're thinking along with the way Krishna has spoken, right? So that's what he said, that this, what I'm saying to Uddhava, to Arjuna, he's saying that Mriyamanaya Vakshyami means that Mriyamanaya here and with enthusiasm to hear. Sharanotsagam. Sharanotsagam means wants to hear. Arjuna wants to hear. And Krishna is wishing him well when he is saying this and saying to him, and Hitakameya, he said, for your benefit I have spoken, right? So, you see, it is how difficult this is, because in order Hitam, Hitam means what is beneficial for us, isn't it, ultimately? Our mind is in the world outside, isn't it? Outside world it is, all the time. And this mind has to turn inwards. Andharmukhatvam has to happen. And then it is at a later date, when it has to become andharmukham. And then gradually later on, self-realization happens. Sakshatkaram, self-realization happens afterwards, right? Sometimes Mahatmas, when people ask this question, that what is the highest achievement what you can have in this world? How could I do the very highest welfare to the people? Right? The answer was that if you realize the self, that is the highest welfare you can do for the world, if you realize the self. This was the answer. All the great personalities have spoken. Ajari Swamiji has said that. Ramana Maharshi has said that. Paramacharya has spoken that. All of them have said, the highest welfare activity in this world is you realizing the self. All other welfare activities are not considered even welfare activity, because this is the only thing that will do good for others in that way. Right? To understand that itself is, you have to think a lot. Why is it said like that? That self-realization is the highest welfare activity. Right? Because all problems what we have is due to the avidya inside, not knowing ourselves, who we are, right? And once you know your identity, who you are, properly, right? Not in the terms of Indian-American, body based on the body, right? And when you realize that you are not this body, not the mind, But instead that Purna Vastu, complete in everything, inside, yeah. And once that happens, then there is nothing to be known anymore. You are complete then, once you realize the Self, right? Then you don't have to do any more knowledge is required. And Shastram is like that. Once a realization comes, then you don't need Shastram anymore, because the goal has attained already. So, at that stage, you are pure, when you realize the Self, right? And so recognizing that you are complete in yourself is what self-realization happens. When self-realization happens, what happens to us is, we realize we are complete in everything. And once that happens, recognition inside us, that I am that Antaryami, self-realization, right? That is the Purnatvam. Purnatvam means I have become perfect then. Purnatvam, right? And in Shastram they will use the word Pratyabhijna. The word used is Pratyabhijna, right? That means this knowledge or this science is not available in this world. This knowledge is not available in this world. How this knowledge of self-realization? Yeah? And therefore, that is why Krishna said that neither the devas nor the rishis even know this, because among devas, some people know them. Some of the devas knows. Among the human species also, some of them knows, right? And all this is discussed in the Brahma Sutra, in the Bhashya, very detailed discussions, right? So this knowledge of self-realization, is it only possible in the possible only in the human body, right? No, it is possible in the higher bodies also, like devas and the rishis, who are all higher than us. Rishi's world is Lord Mahalogam. Mahalogam, Janalogam, Tapalogam, Satyalogam, all these places it is possible, right? And sometimes, not even in the human species, even in the animals and birds also, due to some mercy from Krishna, this can happen, right? By some reason, unknown reason, why it happened, right? Even sometimes in the tree's body, this can happen, right? But they are exceptional cases. They are not normal. They are exceptional cases, right? But one thing is there. In human's body it is possible, and in the higher bodies also it's possible. Devas, rishis and all that, it is possible, right? So, the example of that is there in the Upanishads, the stories of that, yeah? So, Indra, who is the head of the devas, and Virochana, who is an asura, they both go to understand Brahmavidya, to go to Prajapati, and so Upanishad says, Rishi is saying that Shrunnandu Vishwe Amurdasya Putraha, that let everybody hear this knowledge, and everyone has got the right to know this knowledge of the Self, right? You will see Vedantam Evam Purusham Mahandam Aditya Varnam Tamasa Purasat. It's all quoted in the Bhagavad Gita. Mm-hmm. Upanishad words, right? Mm-hmm. So, in the Rishi Yoni, or the womb in the Rishi species, or the Deva Yonis, Deva species, also it is possible, right? But, because they are Devas, it's not guaranteed that they can be realized the truth. Right? Everything has its own speciality also. Of course, devas are higher personalities compared to us. far higher than all of us, right? And same thing with the rishis also. They are on a very higher plane. These are all different planes of existence. Human species is one plane of existence. Rishis is another plane of existence. Devadas are another plane of existence, right? So, Vainadeva, Garuda, he is considered to be a special among the Grudram. Of all the eagle species, Garuda is special, right? Similarly, it is the same way, among the human species, rishis are special. Upanishad says, rishis are special. So, rishitvam, or being a rishi, anyone who has got this krandha darshitvam, that means able to see things in a much subtle level, means spiritually more knowledgeable. Knowledgeable means good realization inside, able to see things much on a deeper level. They are the rishis. People. Rishis means referring to that, right? They are called, in another word they use is krandha darshi. Krandha darshi means who has got very subtle vision. So, in one sense, if you look at the dharma of the world, these rishis in their time, when they were very revealed these things to the world, more or less like they were scientists of that time. They are in that category. Like today you consider scientists, how you think the people thought about the rishis that way. That they knew the secret of this science, of this world, of life. And they knew what should be done in life. So they had that kind of vision in them. Right? So, but you can't call the scientists today as rishis. They are not rishis. That's the difference I'm saying. These rishis, what we are talking about, were people who guided the society to a higher goal, and they were capable of doing that because they had the realization inside and they had the capacity to guide others in that direction. Whereas these modern scientists are useless. They only create all kinds of problems for everybody else. Make our life more and more disturbing and troublesome, right? So, and not only that, those rishis, they never went to school. Whereas all our modern rishis, they got all the degrees of the world. They were not even educated. These rishis were not even educated in the modern sense, right? And what they have done is, they studied the nature very well, yeah? And they performed penances intensely to understand the truth behind it, right? They live the whole life for that purpose. Totally, they have lived a life in this world, studying the nature, living a very austere life and trying to understand the truth behind it. Not through mind and intelligence, through bhakti, through devotion, surrender, everything. So the whole approach was different, unlike the scientists. Scientists, they get money for that. Rishis, nobody paid them anything, not a penny. They still lived in this world, right? But all rishis are not jnanis. All rishis are not jnanis, right? But there are many rishis are jnanis, right? And what they educate the world is what we call as darshanam. Is darshanam. What they reveal to the world is darshanam. It is not that they have researched and found out. It is darshanam. It has come through them in their higher level of realizations, what they got, right? And they are all very highly confidential. And so all the rishis who give this understanding to us about life, about this spiritual knowledge, and who by practical example show to the world that how transmission of knowledge happens, spiritual knowledge happens, all this is their contribution to the world. And through them, we got to know highly confidential things, what we would have otherwise never known through research and experiments, right? So, for these rishis also, there says that in the Bhashyam that a person who is born in a Brahmana family, at that time they were called Vipra. And if you study Vedam, then he is called Vaidika Brahmana. If you learn how to perform sacrifices, then you are Shraudhi. These are the words for the same use for the Brahmanas. Right? So Brahmana, if they are born, and he is called a Vipra, just because he is born in that. If you study Vedam, then you are Vaidika Brahmana. If you start doing sacrifices, then you are Shraudhi. Right? So, and then, if you, this Veda Mantra, now at this stage, this Brahmana doesn't know anything. He has learned the Veda Mantra, he can perform the sacrifice, but he doesn't know the meaning of the mantra. That means he has no realization from that. Right? So, one who has succeeded in analyzing this Veda Mantra properly, and able to, through mananam process, if he has succeeded in understanding the spirit of this mantra, he is called Muni. That's when he is called Muni, right? And then, whatever he has understood from that mantra, its spirit, he has understood. If he has experienced it, he is a rishi. So you can see all these words has a different levels of development of self-realization. So by the time you become a rishi, you have practically, that is why it is through the rishis we get all the Vedams. Basic knowledge is always through the rishis. All others are stages before they became rishis. And then the Shastram says this, right? After all this, he has realized the mantra, right? That means mantra, what he is revealing to us, he has realized that, and then he has become a Brahmajnani, then he is called a Brahmana. That's when he is called a Brahmana. Otherwise, they are all Vipras. So there is Vipra, and then there is Vaidika, then there is Shraudhi, and then there is Muni, and then there is Rishi, and then there is Brahmana. So it is this Brahmana Krishna is talking about. Not all the Brahmanas who ran to America to make money. Krishna has not talked about them. Krishna is talking about when Krishna, that is the problem we have got. Because we are used to these terminologies. When we say Brahmana, he is a Brahmana, we say, you got second initiation, he is a Brahmana. No. Brahmana means, this is the stage of when you call him a Brahmana properly. When he has got that stage of realization, right? So, so we will stop there. We'll continue next Tuesday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Dinadiyatma Prabhupada ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.